Okay. We were asked, I was handed this little note, and I don't know this person, but this Pat, her name's Pat, and she works at McDonald's, and all she asked for was, would you pray for me? And Pat, if you're listening or going to listen, you bet we will. We don't know what your needs are, but God does. And so right now, Father, this is a prayer request, and you know what the need is. But when someone asks to be prayed for, we're going to pray. And so we lift Pat up to you, and she's working right now, and whatever is in her life that needs to be healed, forgiven, ministered to, God, I ask your merciful hand upon her, and that you touch her, and whatever it is that she's asked for prayer from people she doesn't even know, well, I guarantee you, Lord, you know her, and we pray her to be delivered, healed, cleansed, whatever she needs, that it happen this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We don't have to know somebody's issue, problem. Just lift their name up to the Lord. He knows, and He is bigger than all of our problems and issues. So I'm glad to see all of you. I want you to know I'm grateful. I'm thrilled. I got some gifts. I'm just ready to rock now. And so anyway, Romans. You're going to look at part of this passage. You will look at part of this and say, you've hit on this. I hit on this one here and there and everywhere. Bring messages. You never know where it's going to go. But in Romans 14, we have an interesting scenario. And we'll pick up just right around verse 13, and we'll read from 13 to 18, then we'll get into the notes. So verse 13, it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put... This is so hard. In studying for this and preparing this message, I got to tell you, I didn't like this verse. You know, or do you run across verses you don't like, but you have to like them anyway? You know, it's like if you were God, would you put that in there? And I think, if I was God, there's some I might not have put in there. But this one... And I'll tell you why. It says, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. You know, that's tough. That's hard to do. And he says, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that... And this whole issue was over meat offered to idols and the things that the Jewish people considered unclean. And he says, once you become a Christian... Everything's clean to you, but there's still people weak in their faith who you have to be aware of. And then he takes that and kind of transfers it out to everything. And he just puts a responsibility here, we'll see the need for it here in a moment as we dig into it. And he says, as one who is convinced in the Lord, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. Okay? So everybody that has a problem with anything in the book of Acts, he hits the same thing. He says, there's no food unclean. So if you eat snails, okay, that's your thing. If you like, you know, boiled crawfish, that's your... How many of you like that anyway? A bunch of you? You know, yeah, okay. Okay, okay. Whatever your deal, he's saying, don't let anybody tell you that it's unclean as far as, you know, going to mess up your relationship with God. He said, nothing's unclean, no food. And by the way, for all of you who keep hassling me, did you know that this does include spam? See there, spam is not unclean in itself. So just know that. So, and if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. And there's the catch. We'll get into this. If your brother or sister, whatever, is distressed... Because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. So do not be, you know, do not by your eating destroy your brother or sister, your Christian brother or sister is what he's saying, for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And this is, we have to get our focus back. And what he's saying is, Let me just read it. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got that? He said the stuff that we're focusing on in this world is not what God put us here for. And he said, get refocused. That's what this whole message is about, is God's way of life. That's the title of it. God's way of living, God's way of life. And he says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking and all, you know, all this material stuff out here. But he said, it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, that's what I want you to focus on. That's what I want you to develop. That's not me saying it. God's saying that. That's what he wants us to focus on and quit getting involved and so wrapped up in all the material junk that's around us. As he said, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he says, anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Now, do you get all this? He said, if you do this, you are pleasing the Lord. And I hear people ask a lot, we all have, well, what is God's will? You know, what is God really? Well, here's what he's pleased with. He said, if you and all of us will quit getting caught up and all wrapped up in so much material things, it doesn't mean you're not involved in life and all that. It means that can't be a priority, what you eat and drink and who said what and all that's going on out there. He said, God is pleased with whoever focuses on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God's pleased. It's pleasing to God. And he said, it's approved by men. And so let's hit these notes. First of all, there's just two major points in this message and a lot of little sub-notes, but sub-points. But there's two things we're going to talk about today, and that's sensitivity to others, being sensitive to others, and sensitivity to God. That's it. Being sensitive to other people and being sensitive to God. Friends, listen to me. If there's ever a trap that's been laid for us, let me share this. If there's ever a trap that's been laid for all of us, the devil has really put one out there, and here it is. We see so much nasty, horrible stuff. We've watched a lot of weird stuff go on for a long time. You don't know what to believe anymore. You know, what is truth? I think Pilate asked that same question, right? What is truth? Yes, Jesus, what is truth? That's what we're asking. What's truth now? The only real truth that I can tell you anymore is what is in this book. Now, hear me. Listen to this. The only real truth is what is in this book. It's not what this church says. It's not what another church says. It's not what some great speaker says. It's not what some denomination says. It's what's in this book is the truth. And the only truth that there is. And people quickly try to distort the truth even from this book. So you have to be careful. Everything you hear me bring up here, always read it, check it, study it to make sure for yourself. Because I'm human, and I would never try ever to say anything wrong, mislead you, but you need to check it, and you need to do this with anybody you listen to. But we are surrounded now by a calloused, indifferent, unfeeling, uncaring world. There's people out there who care, but in general, you just don't see any empathy. You don't see sympathy. And you don't see people, and I'm talking about leaders and leadership. Look at our elected people in government. They don't seem to show any feelings for anybody but themselves. And so, and the news, you know, everything. And look at the hate that we've seen out there and still do. We're surrounded in the airwaves here. We're surrounded with hate. Calloused, mean, backbiting, backstabbing. And so, friends, I'm not up here to make us go, but it's this. Careful. The devil will try to use that to take you and me, his people, and cause us to be calloused. Because we start, that stuff starts rubbing off on you, and you have to be very careful what you're listening to, how much you're listening, what you're letting come into your head, and that unfeeling, uncaring, calloused, attitude can be suddenly in your life when we're the only ones. Listen, Christianity, God's chosen people, you and me, every Christian, we're all the world has. If there's going to be any love, any sympathy, any understanding, it's going to have to come from us, because it's sure not going to come from anybody else. I mean, we're it. That's how needed and special that you are right here today. Every one of you. The world needs you. Everywhere, wherever you live, that neighborhood, that countryside, wherever it is, they need you. And they need your heart right with God because they don't have anything else. Everywhere we go, we're needed. If you ever needed purpose, you have it now. As a Christian, this is the moment for Christians to stand forth. And I have people telling me all the time, oh, Tony, Christianity's coming under attack and all of that. Sure, it has been, and it's going to be more. But it's also the moment when Christianity stands forth, you and me, God's people, and we say we are different and we're not going to be, as we talked last week, we're not going to be conformed to this world. We're still going to represent Jesus Christ and let people see there's still love, there's still hope, there's still encouragement, there's still understanding, there's still compassion in this world. We're it. And the tougher it gets, the more we let that come out. I'm telling you, friends, don't let it consume you. Don't let this thing, you know, surround you and cause you to be just like everybody else. You got to take a stand, but when you do, put on the armor it talks about in Ephesians. You know, put on that belt of truth, which is what we're sharing here today, God's Word, and the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus' righteousness is yours when you accept Jesus into your heart. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Your feet, it says, shod with the preparation gospel of peace. You know, what is that talking about? It means you're ready. You have peace in your heart. He's using the Roman soldiers, you know, battle garb, you know, uniform, to, you know, and the sword of the Spirit. But what he's saying is you put on that armor and you get out here, but we use that armor to deflect the enemy and his fiery darts with the shield of faith. We got all this on. It's to protect, listen, it's to protect our heart, our head, our head, our heart, everything from what? From becoming subject and casualties to what? To the world. The enemy, listen, the enemy wants the devil, the enemy, and all those who serve him want me, want you, to become so hard-hearted and calloused and mean-natured and nasty and snarling. Now, I know this doesn't describe anybody here, but he wants you to get that. Did anybody wake up snarly this morning, you know, losing that hour of sleep? Did you jump out of bed and say, thank you, Jesus, from a lost hour of sleep this morning? Okay, I thought you did. I could tell. He doesn't want us to become like everybody else. And I want to tell you something. You're different. And I have a little piece here as we talk about this, you know, sensitivity to others. And I want to say this here, and this puts me under the gun and every guy that does what I do. I know a lot of ministers. You of course do, and I have over the years. I have some of them who get into rebellion and they say, you know, I'm not going to give in to everybody, you know, what everybody wants from me in that stereotype. Okay. What does that mean? But what, you know, it means, you know, I'm not going to try to please everybody. That's fine. Please the Lord. But let me tell you something. And I say this to myself and every minister. And by the way, you're ministers too. But those of us who have to get up here, any guy that gets up here and thinks that he can do just whatever he wants to do, he's wrong. People will say to like myself and guys who do this work, oh, I don't care, you can do that, or you can do that and eat that and whatever. And I guarantee you, no, we can't. No, we can't. And I've known some ministers and they say, you know, if I go out, I'm gonna drink my beer in public, I'm gonna do this and that. And it's like, you go ahead. But I'll guarantee you, you're only hurting your witness. You may think you're defined and being your own person, but you have a responsibility that's greater because of what you do. And I have one that's here that it doesn't matter. You know, when you listen, no matter how we say it, you expect me and you need me to be a little bit cut above. I don't mean above you, but above the world system out here. You want to see me that way. And I want to see other pastors that way. And so I'll say to anybody, I know I'm on this on YouTube and Facebook, but listen to me. You can't be like the rest of the world. God called you to be different. Perfect? No. That's why I share with you my imperfections. I don't want you to ever think of, you know, don't put me on a pedestal. It's too hard when you fall. But at the same time, when I read these passages, it's like, Tony, can you do whatever you want to do? Not in public. Do you think that anybody's ever made me mad enough to want to say an ugly word? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that back there. Do you think that Pastor Tony has ever wanted to say a cuss word? Raise your hand if you ever think it crossed my mind. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, and I'd love to tell you you're wrong, but you're right. Have you ever thought that maybe I wanted to tell somebody where their final destination could be? No, thank you, ma'am. Oh, yeah. But aren't you glad I haven't? You see? You want me not to. And God wants me not to. And now transfer this to yourself. What cut above does God want you to be? What, you know, how does He want you to be where you go? And this is not to put pressure or guilt. It's to say, man, they need us. And we can't be a stumbling block. And we're going to have to be what? Sensitive to others. And this, they had a big problem here. Because there were people in that day, and these were new Christians, but they came out of the Jewish background, and they said, we can't eat this meat offered to idols, and then we can't eat any meat, or we have to eat only vegetables. And he's saying, if you're with somebody like that, if you're with somebody like that, and you realize that they're weak in the faith, and they need you to be strong, you can insist on your own rights, or you can say, I'll have some of those vegetables there with you. So that you don't offend that person. Now, there's a difference between doing that not to offend and then letting somebody, you don't let somebody start ordering your life around or controlling you. That's not what he's saying. God doesn't want that to happen. God wants to control us, not somebody else. But if there's someone who struggles, you know, maybe your thing is you go out and you have a glass of wine. But there might be someone there that just says, you know, I just have a problem with drinking I used to drink a lot, what's our responsibility? And that's all he's saying is to say, don't push it's okay for you to do. He said, nothing's unclean, but if somebody feels it's unclean, for them it is. And he said, I will just want you to stop passing judgment and decide that I'm just not going to be a stumbling block. I'm not going to insist on my own rights. This is with other Christians. I'm not going to insist on my own rights when it offends someone else. That's all. And what he's saying is God's pleased with these things. He's saying, I just want you to know, he said that it's more important that you please me, the Father, than you please yourself. And Christians everywhere need to hear this message. You know, we can insist on our own personal rights, but we have to be sensitive to the rights of others and the needs of others. And this is what we're talking about. Don't lose the sensitivity out here. Don't become hardened and calloused. Be aware that others need you. And they need you to be a cut above. They need you maybe just to bite that lip once in a while and not say what you're going to say, just like you want me to. I mean, have I ever, right here in this place, ever just gotten, have I ever walked out that door really upset? Yes. I have. But did I want to show it? No. Did I go out in the truck? Have I ever gone out in the truck and hit the steering wheel? Yes. That hurts, by the way. Don't do it too often. But sure. But you don't want me to see it here, do you? You don't want to see me do it here. And that's what I'm saying. And that's all I'm saying. And so he said, you know, I don't want to just beat this to death. He said, I'm fully convinced that in the Lord Jesus, no food is unclean. But if somebody thinks it is, then for them it's unclean. You know, and I kid about the spam thing, but I really do get around people who say, and my pork skins. I don't know what's wrong with the smell of pork skins, but I can open a bag of pork skins around some people, just like spam, and they're just going, oh, I can't take that smell. Anybody have that problem? Huh? No? Is everybody here like pork skins? Oh, good for you. I love you to pieces. Yeah. Does anybody just hate the smell of them on a bag? Oh, thank you. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So around you, I would not want to open a bag of pork skins. Why couldn't I eat something else? You see what I'm saying? Because that bothers you. And I can sit there and say, well, get over it. Or I can sit there and say, what's God pleased with? That's all. You know, it's just doing what helps the other person along. And so, yeah, oh, yeah, I've not even, you know, before, and just being, especially in a vehicle, and you rip open that bag of pork skins, and people are gagging. And you're going, what's wrong with this thing? Smell good. And people are trying to breathe through a neckerchief, you know, handkerchief or something. And it's like, okay, I need to put these up and just eat some Lay's potato chips or something. So if someone is distressed, if someone's having a problem, the thing to do is to honor Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? It's being sensitive to others. It's just turning in what their needs. And let me say this before I get off this subject. Some people I've been working with, we've been in this area in counseling, in marriage counseling. But one of the things we've been working on, and friends, we've got to all develop this. Please learn to look beneath the surface with other people. It'll help your marriage. It'll help where you work. It'll help you in every relationship. It'll help you with your husband, wife, kids, everybody. That is, when a person says something, try to see beneath the words. Because often, the words are not what counts. It's what's going on inside the person. And what God wants us to learn to do is see and hear. I mean, we talked about this in some previous messages, to see and hear what He sees and hears. And not let words become a stumbling block, because sometimes words come out of people. Those words are revealing something much deeper inside that person, and that's where Christians need to go. We respond so quickly and defensively to words. When God might just be saying, I let those words come out so you can see this person's hurting. This person is in need of something. Those words may have been harsh, but it's because their heart is hurt. And I need you to not let those words become an arguing point and, oh, I can't believe you talked to me that way. And instead, go beneath that and say, what's happened to you? What's going on? Tell me your pain. Who said what to you? Who rejected you? Who offended you? And you become their counselor. And then you say, my husband or my wife? Yeah, you become their counselor at that point. You become more than just a married partner. You become a person intimate with them in that you're going into their heart and they'll love you for it. How many of you have ever said something you knew came out ugly, but you didn't really mean it? It's because something was so hurtful in here, and the words just weren't pleasant. All of us, right? And we need someone to see that and hear that in here and to be sensitive to us. Okay, enough said. Let's move on to the next thing. Sensitivity to God. He wants me sensitive to you. But more than anything else, God wants me, you, sensitive to Him, to His, that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit, to His slightest moving, to that little, you'll be going along and we've all done this, and suddenly there's just this little word that comes to us, a scripture, some guiding passage. And we say, wonder why that's in my mind. It's there for a reason. God's speaking to you for something. And He wants you to be sensitive to that. And say, what's God saying to me through this word that suddenly come to my mind? And he says, so don't allow what you consider be good to be spoken of as evil. And He said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And all He was saying was, hey, when you seek first my kingdom, like it says in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things be added to you. What He's saying is this. I want you to seek righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I want you to, He said, I want you to seek it and I want you to be that. Don't you see? It's not only to seek it, but what is He saying here? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. You are God's righteousness in Christ. And you are His peace. And you are His joy. And he wants you to have that in your heart, and then that comes out of your life to others. That righteous lifestyle. By the way, he uses the word righteousness in here. In the Greek, we know in the Greek, the most common form of righteousness is the righteousness that Jesus Christ gives you when you ask him in your heart. This righteousness, this Greek word for righteousness right here means righteous living. And so what he's doing, and he uses a little bit of a change in the Greek wording for righteousness, and it means lifestyle. It means life change. What it's saying in literally is now that the righteousness of Christ is in my heart because I'm a believer in Christ, I'm to let that righteousness change the way I think, I speak, I live. I'm to have righteous conduct, and I know we're all saying, can't do that all the time. Well, we can't. We're human. But we're to seek it and to strive for it, and when we don't, confess it instantly and get back on track. None of us will have a perfectly righteous lifestyle, as much as we want one. Get up in the night and take off across that dark room and ram that big toe into whatever's in the way, and you probably will not be having a righteous moment. But when you get over the pain and the words stop flowing, you can say, God, that was totally unrighteous. That's not the lifestyle, but that really hurt. You ever told God that? I was justified in that cuss word because that really hurt. And God's saying, yeah, but now what are you going to do? I'm going to confess it because I don't want it in the way and I want to get over it. So things happen. We know that. But God says righteousness, peace, and joy. And this righteousness is that right lifestyle, which is right conduct. Right conduct in which the believer, we're called to live that. It's righteous lifestyle that comes from being made righteous by my faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody good with me? And he wants the world to see that. And friends, the world needs to see that. I did not know. I never dreamed. And I still having trouble with it. I did not know that the very thing that at one time we, many of us, were wearing a uniform and standing and fighting against communism, socialism, I did not know that that very thing would be what is being embraced by my own government, who sent all of us out to stop it. Now that contradiction causes great pain. I struggle with that. To see something embraced that at one time was the enemy of the United States of America, and soldiers died to stop it. During the Cold War, people were dying to stop the thing that now is accepted over here and is being pushed upon us. And friends, it's not righteous. It's not of God. That's the devil's religion. And there's no way, friends, God's righteousness must prevail. I cannot tolerate socialism. And I will not give in because it's not the Bible. And that's why this message is so significant of many things. It's totally opposite of what's been they're trying to force upon us. Jesus, God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they call it like it is. This book is not politically correct. That's why so many don't like it. This book doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to hold on to that. And because this doesn't change, he doesn't want you and me to change to be more acceptable to this world. He wants righteousness, peace, and joy to be in our lives, and that's what we stand for because that's the Word of God. And that's the way it has to be. And the things that at one time was an enemy, we're embracing, but not me, and I know you're not either. We're not going to embrace the enemy of the cross, no matter what the cost, are we? We must not. We cannot. And to not embrace it, know what it is, and know that righteousness, peace, and joy is your goal. And that's what God wants for you. And that righteous conduct. And then peace. What does he mean by that peace? It means that word peace literally means the ceasing of war. Quit being in conflict with yourself. So many people are in conflict. They're struggling the flesh and the spirit and the way I was raised or this or that or the church and taught me this and then God says this. What God says is the final word. That's it. And so the peace of God, that ceasing of war, don't be in conflict just because you're being told that you have to accept certain things. You don't have to accept them. I'm not going to. I have no desire to. And I can't. And I'm going to tell you something else. You don't want me to. You want to look at a man up here that will not compromise with the world, and God help me not to. I mean it. God help me not to. Because it's going to get tough. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea if this thing comes out and you have to show an ID that you've had this shot, this vaccination, this inoculation. United Airlines now won't let you fly unless you show, it could show up here, right up here in these, and you know, in the grocery store. Some conspiracy thing. It's already happening with airlines. You know, show me a card. The problem is, friends, I'll get on my soapbox just for 1 minute. Hadn't been on it a long time. Did you know, if you've had the vaccine, I'm not against you. Good for you. But did you know that this thing has still not been proven that the antibodies that it's supposed to give you remain? They don't know. I know this from people working the labs and the research. One of my own family works in this department. And it's like, we don't know yet if those antibodies are going to remain from this inoculation. Because you can have COVID and 3 months later be subject to it again because the antibodies don't remain. And we don't know if the vaccine works. But you're going to make me show an ID that I've had it when it's not proven. Now, don't hear me. Please, nobody. Please, don't hear me saying don't get the shot. If you want it, get it. But I'm just saying to you to use it as a form of ID. Here's the problem. It worries me because then what else will I have to show an ID for? And then when will it come a little chip stuck in here in my hand? So, friends, it's not the COVID vaccination. I'm not on that. I'm not harping one way or another. I'm simply saying it's what's behind it. It's not taking it or not taking it. What bothers me is you're going to make me show an ID and it won't stop there. The only ID that I can possibly show you is I have a mark, it says, all of us do, that Jesus Christ has put on us, that we belong to Him, and it's the only mark I'm ever allowed to take. That's it. That's it. And I'm here to be God's righteousness. You are, both of us, all of us, peace, His peace. And that peace of God that flows from our lives towards others, the desire to have everyone, listen to me, when you have God's peace in your heart, you have a desire for all of God's people to get along with each other. That's what God's peace does. It seeks harmony. It seeks goodness amongst God's people. It can't stand rebellion. It can't stand, you know, adversity, you know, and stuff going on. You know how churches have had, you know, churches right this day, they have all this stuff. One group over here and one group over here, but when you have the peace of Christ, it seeks to reconcile. It seeks to bring harmony. It seeks to bring love. That's what God wants. And then joy. Aren't you glad we're there? Oh, we're on joy. He'll be closing. Yes, he will. Okay. So we got righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy is so misunderstood. Listen to me. Joy is far beyond happiness. Listen, happiness is emotional. I can be happy today and right here, right now, and walk out, somebody give me something that's not so good, or tell me something, somebody got hurt or whatever, and I'm just weeping. But joy, the joy that Jesus gives, is the joy that my salvation is secure. It's the joy that God holds me in His hand and that nobody can take me out of it, not even myself. It's the joy that no matter what happens, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the joy of knowing that nothing happens to me in my life that God doesn't know about. It's the joy of knowing that He's the great physician and He can heal anything that takes place. It's the joy of knowing that God will meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That joy that my God is eternal, and that by believing in Jesus Christ, I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and I'm going to be with Him. I mean, this thing is forever. It's that joy, which means I can be crying emotionally over something that hurts so bad, but there's the joy of the Lord in my heart at the same time that keeps me from falling and giving in and not being able to get up. Listen, it's the joy of the Lord that helps you rise from the ashes and be born again. It's the joy of the Lord that sees us through every trial, every adversity, every calamity, every death, everything we don't understand, but that righteousness, that peace, and that joy of knowing that I may be sad on the outside, but God has my heart. He has my present. He has my future. And He has me in His hands. And He remembers me every single day. That's the joy. There's another blessing of this joy. It's easy to take for granted. There's the joy of walking into God's fellowship and being with all of you. And we all do this. Part of our coming to church, you know, a part of it, is that joy of seeing other Christians, of sharing, knowing that somebody cares. Somebody speaks to you. Somebody loves you. That's not the mission of coming to church. The mission, the whole thing is Jesus Christ and worship of Him. Praise to God the Father and the joy that He gives. But there's a joy in being loved. There's a joy in walking in that door and people turn and they have a smile on their face. They're glad to see you and it lightens the heart and it blesses the soul. And that's a gift of God that He's giving. You see, that's how He blesses through other people. Their joy in seeing us is the joy of the Lord to refresh our soul. And that's good stuff, isn't it? So this righteousness, peace, and joy. And then I'll wrap it up with this. With that, that brings that God awareness that God sees what we do. He's pleased with the seeking righteousness, peace, and joy. And look at this. And this is just the way He closes this. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ this way is pleasing to God. He loves you for it. He's happy with you. Because you seek what? Righteousness. His righteousness, and you want to live it. His peace, and you want to live it. His joy, and you want to live it. And He says, I'm pleased. I'm happy with that. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be high and mighty. You don't have to know every word in the Bible. I just want you to seek righteousness, peace, and joy. And I, the Lord, am pleased with you for doing it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into trial, testing. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. And with that, deliver us from our own selves, our own flesh. For yours, Father, is the kingdom, the power and the glory and all honor belongs to you, and we love you. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' holy name, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And God bless you all for being here. Thank you.